poured the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify it. And so here we have Aaron as he's anointed before any of the sin offering or the burnt offering or the ram of consecration was offered. And we see our Lord Jesus, as the psalmist says in Psalm 45, God thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And so we see the Lord Jesus as the one who was anointed far above any man. And he was anointed before the sin offering was ever made, or before he offered himself as a burnt offering and as a sweet-smelling savor unto God. The Lord Jesus, indeed, as he walked here, fulfilled every picture of the type that was given here. For we read, and I'm just going to pick out some of the scriptures to read to you, because we can't read the whole. I'd like you to see from verse 22 on. And he brought the other ram, the ram of consecration, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram. And he slew it, and Moses took the blood of it, and he put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And he brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put out the blood of the upon the tip of their right ear, and upon the thumbs of their right hands, and upon the great toes of their right feet. And Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar and round about. And he took the fat and the rump and all the fat that was upon the inwards, and the caul above the liver and the two kidneys and their fat on the right shoulder. And out of the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took one unleavened cake, a cake of oil bread, and one wafer, and put them on the fat and upon the right shoulder. And he put all upon Aaron's hands and upon his son's hand, and waved them for a wave offering before the Lord. Now we've got a picture before us, the picture standing as Moses, who stands as the intercessor. He comes and he anoints Aaron, who pictured the high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ. But then there was the sin offering that was made, a burnt offering as well. You see, the burnt offering speaks of that which is earthward toward heaven. It speaks of the willingness of the offering, and it speaks of the substitutionary work of the offering. In the burnt offering, we don't see the sin-bearing of the Lord Jesus, but we see his willingness to offer himself without spot to God. And then we see in the sin offering that work of our Lord Jesus Christ actually becoming our sin-bearer. That's where we see that he did the atoning work for our sin. Now, with those two offerings, there was a ram of consecration and a meal offering. In the meal offering, we have the Lord Jesus as he's typified as the perfect one. We have him as not a coarse grain in it. It was an offering that was made of fine flour. And we have the Lord Jesus there as the sweet fragrance he was before God for us, because there was frankincense that was offered with the meal offering. And so when the priest is here now, and he comes to be consecrated, there's a ram that's offered as a ram of consecration. And when that ram is offered, the blood is taken from that ram, and it's touched to the ear, and to the thumb, and the toe of the right side of the high priest and the priest himself. When we look at the high priest, which was Aaron, typifying the Lord Jesus Christ, we can see the Lord Jesus in his consecration for us. First of all, that his ear was touched with the blood. And I'm sure if we took a quick run through scripture, and we could see the times of the ear, that the ear was mentioned in prophecy relating to the Lord Jesus. You could see it in the 40th Psalm, where he speaks, mine ear hath thou did. And I believe there, because it's brought to us in Hebrews 10, when that particular portion of scripture is brought to us in the New Testament, Paul uses that as the sense of the body of Christ, and he said, a body hath thou prepared me. And so I could see the ear being mentioned there as the thought of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That when he came to this scene, that his ear, which is shown to us as his body, was one that was totally given to God. He could say, I'm not come to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. As the Lord Jesus walked in this scene, he never took up for self. So many times people have pondered, well, if he came not to do his own will, and he came as a servant, he said he didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life as a ransom for many, then he couldn't be God. But I say, oh no, bless your heart. When he came here and he walked as the Son of God, this is the first and the only time that as he came, he placed himself totally in subjection and submission to the will of the Father. But if you remember, that will of the Father would have been his own will, because he could say, I and the Father are one. It was his delight to do that will. And so he came, God, manifest in the flesh. But now, in total subjection and to submission to the will of the Father from heaven. What an obedient son, obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The second mention we have, I think, in Scripture concerning the Lord Jesus and his ear would be given to us in Isaiah 50. And there again, we have his sense of his ear being tuned to the sense that he was not rebellious. He openeth my ear morning by morning. He said, I was not rebellious nor turned my way back. And in the expiation of the Lord Jesus Christ, in no way did he show rebellion. He was obedient to death. He fixed his face as a flint toward Calvary, and he never varied from that path. Never. I've often been amazed and my heart broken and bowed before him and said, oh Lord, anywhere along the path you could have quit. You could have said when they spit in your face, this is the creature I created, and you could have blotted him out in a moment. Why didn't you do it? And I hear his words come back to my heart, just because I loved you. Had he stopped short of Calvary, you and I would have never had. Never had a stake. Praise God for that one whose ear was not rebellious. And then I think again in Exodus chapter 21. There we have again the servant. And now it's the servant who has served his master for 6 years. And in the 7th year he's to go out free. But if the master had given him a wife and children, then he would say to the master, I love my wife, I love my children, I'll not go out free, I'll stay and serve you. The master took that man to the doorpost, and then he took it all and he pierced his ear. He marked him as one who had pledged himself to his master, to his wife, and to his family. We have the Lord Jesus as certainly he was given the bride. He was given a wife by the Father, a wife that was eternally to be the praise, to the praise of his glory, as our brother mentioned yesterday. And you know, the Lord Jesus has consecrated himself to that wife, eternally. And I'm so glad for that, because today as I see him in the heavens, as the resurrected Lord, he bears the mark of his pledge to me, eternal. Oh, he didn't have the ear bored through with an awl in actuality, but he had it in picture as that ear was marked there at Calvary in total obedience, and that ear that was touched with blood. I want to show you a little picture where I believe the Lord Jesus was his own ram, as well as he was the priest, and it was his own blood that consecrated himself to us eternally. When the Lord Jesus went to Calvary, and he started along that path, I remember as we left the temple area. And just at the back gate, as we walked out to go down the way called the Via Dolorosa, and off to one side, there was Antonio's palace, and down below was a place called Pilate's Judgment Hall. They've excavated it. And that place has the games that the Roman soldiers played carved in the stone. I didn't get to see it. Our group didn't happen to go there, but my son Jonathan did. And he was telling me how it impressed him. And you know, I can't help but think that as we walked out there, of the one who had been down there, been mocked, clothed with a purple robe, a crown of thorns plaited and put on his head. And you know, when those thorns were plaited and put on his head, it was just as though they said to him, "You curse the ground for a man's sake, here's the curse you wear." You know, it was a curse that was brought against the ground. And that man was going to till the ground by the sweat of his brow, and it was going to bring forth thorns and thistles. And when they crucified my Lord, and they put that crown of thorns on his head and drove it in with that rod that they put in his hand, that reed, and then they drove those thorns in deeper, oh, I see the blood begin to trickle down. It trickled across an ear that was already pledged to the will of the Father, and was to be pledged for the care of everyone that he had redeemed through his blood. You know, that was a work that was done before the foundations of the world, because it was that far back when he offered himself to be the lamb to be slain. And so, I can see those hands. When they're taken to that cross and nailed on that rugged tree. And I see the blood that pours forth from those wounds. I see those feet as they're taken and nailed to that tree. They tell me that it wasn't a pretty sight when they crucified a man. I was reading in one of Edersheim's writings on the life of Christ. He said when they took a man and crucified him in that day, they took a whip and they wove it. And in the weaving of those leather thongs, they put pieces of bone and nail. And then when they whipped the man and they striped him, they pulled him out and stretched his skin tight. And then when they whipped him, if the man was doing the whipping, was a man that had a little compassion, he'd bring the whip down and then let it release and take it away. But the scripture said his back was plowed. And that meant that when they wrapped that whip around him, he jerked it back. And when he did, it plowed a furrow as the pieces came along. And when they took him, they nailed him to that tree. They put it in a big hole, not a tight hole that would hold it erect. And that cross could move forward and back. And when the individual, he had a little stand below his feet, just enough to get his toes on it when he was in agony of pain and he was strangling and couldn't breathe, he could lift up and get a breath. And when he did it, the force of it was enough to throw it forward and bring him additional pain. It was a crucifixion that was designed to bring agony to the one who was crucified. I'm amazed that my Lord had pledged himself to that. Yet when I think of his love toward me, and the verse that we sang this morning, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Amazing grace. A consecrated Lord. Now, beloved, Aaron wasn't the only one that was consecrated. The priests were too. That blood had to touch their ear. That blood had to touch their hand. And that blood had to touch their feet. And I'm wondering if the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus has so touched our ear.
that we stand as priests to minister before Him, totally set apart, sanctified through the work of the Lord Jesus. That's what that verse said. He sanctified the people. Sanctified through His work there at Calvary. And now He wants His priests consecrated. Oh, seems to me it's a hard heart that can't be touched with the blood of the Lord Jesus and the sacrificial work that He did. The ear is one of the entrances to the soul. The ear gate is one way that the soul is reached. And certainly our ear needs to be in tune to the Master, to His Word. Our hands need to be quick to do His bidding, and our feet to go in His way. If I was to take it in a hurry in one verse and put it into the New Testament light, He puts it to us in Romans 12:1. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's rather interesting that word service there is translated in the book of Philippians as worship. The same word. In other words, God wants us totally. Now, we had a chance to worship this morning around the table. We had a chance to come back and say, I love you. But as we walk throughout the week, our lives in the way that we walk, consecrated priests to God ought to say, I love you, by the way we walk. Our bodies ought to be a living sacrifice. And when they came to worship, they brought a sacrifice. When we came to worship collectively this morning, we came as individuals and we brought sacrifice. Did we not? Hebrews 13:15 says we did, doesn't it? Says we should have. We should have given Him the praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. We should have been here, that's to do good. Obeying His word, He said, this do in remembrance of me. And then He said, and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, well, God is well pleased. And I ask you, beloved, is this consecrated as part of your life? Is it consecrated to God that you can, as you came today, give to Him a sacrifice? That's what communicate there is in that verse. It's to give a sacrifice. We had an opportunity to come and to bring sacrifice. The sacrifice of thanksgiving, the psalmist speaks. The sacrifice of praise. My, how blessed. Bring those sacrifices. Sure, no. The ladies come this morning and you probably say in your own heart sometimes, well, I can't really say anything to bring a sacrifice of praise. I have to be quiet. Scripture silence my mouth. I say, sisters, did you come this morning with a heart that was filled that heart could offer praise? Sometimes in our little meeting, the sisters say, well, the brethren sit there and they don't say anything for so long. But I've often wondered, sisters, when you make remarks like that, are they honest ones because your hearts come prepared? And because you broke an alabaster box of ointment? Oh, I think sometimes, honestly, ladies, we have to confess sometimes the brethren are slow. But you know, if the sisters would come with an alabaster box that they'll bring silently to the Lord, the room might be filled with the odor of His ointment, not might be, with it. And then I think it might move some of us brethren who are rather slow, because our heart has been touched with the savor of the oil. And then His name becomes an ointment for it. Bless your heart.
just these few thoughts and these few little moments, can you see what God is calling you to? He's calling you to a life of consecration for Him. But can you see also in this verse 26 that I read? And out of the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord, He took one unleavened cake, a cake of oiled bread and one wafer, put them on the fat and upon the right shoulder, and He put them all in Aaron's hands, and upon his son's hands, and waved them for a wave offering before the Lord. So now that the priests have had the blood touch them, and they've consecrated their lives, they now become occupied. Occupied with the perfections of the Lord Jesus. For that's what the Neville offers. And when they're occupied with Him, don't you see, it was put into their hands. The unleavenedness speaks of the perfections of the Lord Jesus, the one who was totally without sin. He's the one unleavened cake, and that was a cake anointed with oil. You see, the Lord Jesus was anointed with oil, the oil of the Spirit. And we read in John's Gospel that He did not give the Spirit unto him by measure. The Lord Jesus Christ had the fullness of the Spirit. The Spirit wasn't given by measure. And so now as priests we need to be occupied with someone. A person. The Lord Jesus. Occupied with His perfection. You know why I think that? Because if we can be occupied with the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus and see Him in His perfections willing to die for us, it'll teach us something about the holiness and the love of God that our brother's been bringing us to here. His holiness that demanded penalty for sin. And His love that reached out to save the sinner. And then as we're occupied with Him, we won't be so occupied with one another. Oh, it's so sad when we begin to see one another. And the vision of Christ grows dim when we become so occupied with our brethren and their shortcomings, we've taken our eyes off the Master. And now as priests, we've taken our eyes off the work that's been given us to do, the sacrifice to the living God. I think that when we see the cake, we see the Savior in His perfection without sin. We see the one that was oil, a cake of oiled bread. We see the Spirit of God, the living one, mingled with that humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ as He walked here. We need to see that. God manifest in flesh. And then we see the wafer. And that bespeaks a part of the whole. We see it of the Lord Jesus as He went about doing good. Remember when they sent those to bring them to Him? And the officers came back empty-handed, and they said, why didn't you bring him? He said, never man spake like this man. He went about doing good, pledge, to fulfill the will of the Father. And you know he stands as a high priest, consecrated forever. The Scripture tells us he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. That's our great high priest, consecrated to us. And now, he'd like us consecrated to him. With his blood, set apart, first of all, washed with pure water, touched, set apart through the work of Calvary, and then consecrated through that work, and occupied with him. Oh, it's so good when we're occupied with the Savior. He touches our heart. We can fulfill His will and His desire, not only for us, but it's expressed in our love, one toward another. God help us to walk as those who have been touched by the blood, consecrated to a life lived out to the glory of God.